You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hour number two of the Sports Hangover brought to you by 511 by Carl Malone. We are live at Tad Gormley Stadium for tonight's big matchup between Jesuit and Holy Cross as we get into the Catholic League, and we're in the district play in high school football, and it's a festival out here. It is absolutely unbelievable with the amount of people, the amount of tents, the amount of food.
Just a beautiful day out here. I mean, they have food trucks just set up with barbecue pits on them, and they're grilling burgers. I think they have a full-on pig that they're...
It looks like a whole pig.
It looks like a whole pig that's on the grill right now.
Excuse me, guys.
Yeah. What you got, Joey?
Speaking of pig, I got an email from Gus.
Uh-huh.
And I quote, Joey...
It's Friday.
I hate you, Joey. I really hate you.
I can't make it through the Friday without hearing the song.
You're a sick man. I thought you were the professor of awesomeness.
Awesome. I'm reading
people
it.
Listen to this song.
Partying, yeah. I'm reading it.
Have you been going to class?
Fun.
I mean, they're all online.
Yeah, so. Maybe you need to get to going back to class. If you're awesome and you like this,
probably.
You need to get back in class.
Yeah, stay away from drugs.
Thank you, Joey. Thank you for that public service announcement.
I endorse it.
Hour number two of the Sports Hangover. We got some free time. We're going to have who's our guest at 2:15? We're open right now, so if you want to get in, get your call in, 800-998-1003. If you want to get your takes in, if you do call later in the show and we have a guest on, Joey's going to ask you, would you like to hang on throughout the segment, or would you like to call back? So we'll tell you when you can call, but we've got Casey Gisclair at 1:30, and we've got
Leo Haggerty from Tampa Bay is coming on to talk about the Bucks and Saints matchup.
So this segment's open and the last segment's open. If you want to get your take, I know Uptown Ruler usually gives us a call. Have we heard from him this week after the Dallas beatdown?
Yes, I think we heard from him Monday after the Dallas beatdown.
And that was it? We've only heard from him once.
Yeah, we've only heard from him once. I was surprised. I thought he was going to call in a lot more.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, I know that Dallas game. There was a lot of people. I know they were showing online. They were showing a lot of Twitter and social media. The Cowboys kind of taking over Bourbon Street. I think they were kind of feeling themselves.
There was a lot of bandwagons out there. Also,
well, they beat three bad teams, and they thought they were going to the Super Bowl. And you know, they got a dose of reality getting into the Superdome and finding out what a playoff team is all about. And you know, this week's game is no different. You know, Tampa Bay kind of surprised me by taking it to the Rams the way they did. I know they got a lot of turnovers early from Jared Goff, who, again, last night kind of was a bizarre game. There were times he just looked terrible, and then there were times he let him right down the field, looked like the Rams of last year. But Rams dropped their second game in a row. I was taken back. I kind of saw it online that the score was 7-0 Tampa, and then I saw 14-0, and I saw 21-0. I thought something was wrong with the computer. But apparently Goff was turning the ball over left and right, and Tampa Bay got out to a nice lead. I really, the whole time, kept thinking the Rams are going to come back, make that run, and win this game at the end. But it never happened. Tampa Bay just kept scoring. And, you know, now it's kind of back-to-back weeks that Bruce Arians with Jameis Winston, it's one of the things we're going to talk to the Tampa Bay reporter about. You know, when Bruce Arians took this job at Tampa Bay, he was a Jameis Winston guy. He was completely, a lot of fans in Tampa had given up and was ready for a new quarterback. And he kept saying, no, Jameis Winston's my guy. I know he can do this. And I kind of had questions after the first 2 weeks. Well, now I really want to get a good look Sunday when Jameis Winston comes to town, see what he's like. Is this the effect of Bruce Arians? You know, has he made the corner? Because a lot of people thought he was going to be one of the top quarterbacks, and it hasn't happened. But now, you think Bruce Arians, Jordan, you think he's getting into Jameis Winston's head? You think that he's the difference in Jameis Winston?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the seasons prior, I mean, it was, oh, Tampa Bay needs to start looking for a quarterback, a new quarterback. But, I mean, Tampa just keeps on trusting the guy and they keep on going with him instead of picking up another quarterback. And, I mean, it might be too early to say, but it's worked out for him these past couple weeks. But I think it's all a test of time. I mean, they have to face one of the better defense in the NFL this upcoming weeks in the Saints. So it'd be interesting to see what Jameis Winston could pull out of his hat this week.
Were you taken back last week watching the Saints in Dallas? Were you taken back how much of a difference Sheldon Rankins made on that defensive line? I did not see the fact that they were able to stop Ezekiel Elliott the way they did and stuff the run. I know a lot of people say, oh, well, it's only one guy. He's not going to make that much of a difference. But it's hard to look at the team the way they played against the Texans. They gave up a lot of running yards. And I know some of that was Deshaun Watson, and it's hard to stop a quarterback who's dropping back, can break containment like Russell Wilson did last night to the Rams. Deshaun Watson kind of attributed to a lot of those rushing yards against the Saints. But the way they shut Ezekiel Elliott down, the way they contained Dak Prescott in the pocket, I was shocked at how good that defensive line was.
Well, Sheldon Rankins was the only guy on the Saints that had a sack last week. It was the only sack in the fourth quarter that came up on that big drive where I want to say it was the second to last drive for Dallas where they had to kick the ball away to the Saints. And so Sheldon, he did come up big in that area when it came down to crunch time, but we did hear from him in the locker room earlier this week, Wednesday, and he said that he's definitely feeling a little bit winded, but that all comes with time when you're getting back from an Achilles injury like he had last year, and just how he's recovered in this amount of time is just unbelievable and speaks to what kind of staff they have.
It's amazing what the medical technology could be. We were talking to Larry Holder in the first hour, and you know, when Drew Brees, you brought up the medical technology today, we were talking to Larry about the technology with Drew Brees' hand. When Drew got hurt, I really thought it was a 10 week period at least that he would be out because of the inactivity of his arm. And now I find out there's a new procedure to tape over the ligament, which gives it more stability and allows you to actually be able to pick up a football, which will speed up the recovery. So it's amazing what technology can do. But you're right, Sheldon Rankin's coming back in almost record time from an Achilles, and that's hard to believe that a defensive lineman can come back that quick from an Achilles, considering as much pressure as he has to put on that Achilles in order to push off once that ball snapped in order to get pressure. But you see the value that he brings to this team, because there were times, a guy we haven't talked about, Malcolm Brown, that we brought over from the Patriots, you saw much, much improved, much better effort from him this week with Sheldon Rankins coming back. You were able to see what Dennis Allen was able to do with having all three of those guys, Onyemata, Rankins, Malcolm Brown. There were times where you needed to make a stuff on a short a goal line situation or a third and short where you knew Dallas was going to run Ezekiel Elliott. They could put all three of those guys in. Then he can also put three defensive linemen, three defensive ends, excuse me, with you know, the three defensive ends that we have. It opens the playbook for Dennis Allen that he can give offenses a different look, which, you know, Dak Prescott's had a little bit more success with the Cowboys than Jameis Winston. You got to believe Dennis Allen's going to throw some looks at Jameis Winston. It's probably going to confuse him.
I'm glad you brought up Malcolm Brown, because he's one of those guys that the Saints got from the Patriots, and you really haven't been hearing a lot, like, people talking about him a lot, but what he's done in this defense so far for the Saints has really opened up the line to get to the quarterback, and just what he's done for this Saints organization. He's almost like the unsung hero of this defensive line in a way.
And I think he is. You know, a lot of times, you know, I keep always bringing this back up, but you talk to the guys that were on the Dome Patrol. And, you know, Aaron Donald gets a lot of this with the Los Angeles Rams, the double teaming. If you ask the guys from the Dome Patrol who was the most valuable player on that defense, and they'll tell you Pio Sangapulateli. And people say, who is that? He was one of the defensive linemen, but he took the double teams. He was always being double teamed, which allowed that linebacking core to be able to shoot gaps and to be able to do their jobs. I think Malcolm Brown is kind of that guy who's kind of eating up a lot of blocks. That's allowing Cam Jordan, the defensive end, Sheldon Rankins, those guys to get free. But that's what's so scary about this defensive line. We haven't talked about Mario Edwards. He's another guy, but it's now becoming a point where that defensive line is so deep that you have so many bodies. You can, Dennis Allen can give so many looks. But to your point earlier, Sheldon Rankins does not have to play every play. He's going to be able to get himself back into playing shape. That's going to allow him maybe not to get re-injured. You come back too quick from an injury, which is my biggest concern for Drew. Come back too early, you end up re-injuring something. When you re-injure something, it's worse the second time than it is the first time. So you always want to take your time going around trying to come back too quick from an injury. But if you get something from Mario Edwards, add it on top of Malcolm Brown and all of the rest of the defensive line, this Saints defensive line's got something.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if the offense could just get things clicking and going, I mean, this team is, if not the best, the best team in the NFL, maybe behind the Patriots, just what the Patriots done thus far. I don't think you could say that the Saints are better than the Patriots. But if this offense starts to click, I think there's a very good conversation that this defense and this offense are both the best in the NFL.
And I think too, there's a correlation to the fact that you won the trenches, and we'll talk to Marlon Favorite about this in our third hour, but you won the trenches. You were able to control the line, the defensive line of scrimmage. I think there's a correlation to how well both Marshawn Lattimore and Eli Apple played in that secondary, because Dak Prescott was under pressure, and any time the front seven can win and they can get pressure up front, it's going to make that job a lot easier for Marshawn Lattimore. So that we're going to come right back. Quick break here. We're going to come right back with Tampa Bay reporter Leo Haggerty. He's going to join us to break down Tampa Bay Sports Hangover, sponsored by 5-Eleven by Carl Malone. Purpose-built gear for life's most demanding moments. They're located 6601 Veterans Boulevard, across from Lafreniere Park. If you're as old as I am, you remember the Godfather's Pizza used to be over in that parking lot right across from Lafreniere Park. They're literally one door down from where Godfather's Pizza used to be. If you're looking for outdoor pants or an outdoor person, hunting, fishing, climbing, hiking, all kind of things, they've got special pants like Apex Defender Jean. You can get some of the most comfortable boots in the market. Wide selection of tactical bags and accessories. Go on by 5-Eleven. Ask for Steve, the manager over there. They'll take care of you. 5-Eleven by Carl Malone, 6601 Veterans Boulevard. We thank them for being a sponsor of the Sports Hangover. Quick break. We'll be right back with Leo Haggerty, Tampa Bay reporter. Don't go anywhere on ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM.
Are you ready to check out the latest innovations from 5-Eleven by Karl Malone? 5-Eleven is committed to making the best gear used by those who demand the most. A large selection of award-winning packs and bags and industry-leading pant designs. 5-Eleven's got you covered. Try our best-in-class pants like Apex or Defender Jeans, or walk in a pair of our most comfortable boots that perform in the harshest environments. Build the ultimate bug-out bag with our tactical bags and accessories at 5-Eleven by Karl Malone, 6601 Veterans Boulevard. Always be ready.
Join Golden Motors for their 5th annual car show on October 26th from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m., kicking off the morning with a 5K run-walk to benefit the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, followed by the car show, arts and crafts, and live music. Food will be sold by our local Boy Scouts, Troop 325. It's the perfect day to test drive our 2019 Silverado and our new 2020 Chevy Silverado 2500 HDs. Check us out at Golden Motors on the back road in Cutoff. 985-325-1000. Chevy, find new roads.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988. always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Alongside Jordan Kleber, I'm Jay Hardgrave. And this Sunday, 12 o'clock, the Saints finally, Jordan, get back to the Dome to play a 12 o'clock game. Been playing a lot of nationally televised games. Taking on a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that comes in here 2-2 and can flip-flop this division by beating the Saints. And we want to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we want to welcome to the show Leo Haggerty, reports for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for It Sports Magazine. Leo, thanks for giving us a little bit of your time this Friday to break down the Buccaneers.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
Leo, last week I didn't get a chance to see the Bucs-Rams game, but I had the computer on and was kind of watching the scores when the 3 o'clock game started. And it came up 7-0 Tampa Bay. A few seconds later, it was 14-0 Tampa Bay. A few seconds later, it was 21-0 Tampa Bay. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. What happened in that game where the Bucs were able to just jump all over the Rams?
Well, what happened was they took a page out of the New England Patriots playbook. They actually baited Goff into a lot of things by giving him a false pre-snap read. And that's the key with Todd Bowles' defense, the 3-4. You're not getting a pre-snap read. So what you think you may be seeing, you're not getting. And for your listeners, you probably already educated them about a turnover being worth anywhere from 6 to 14 points. It's the points you get and the points they don't get. The game was a little bit of an anomaly because the Bucs got 28 points off of turnovers. That's a 56-point swing. You're not going to see that too often on a Sunday.
Yeah, you know, the points off of turnovers is kind of a sore spot down here because when we played the Rams the week before you guys, we had that fumble return. Cam Jordan picked it up, ran it back, and the clowns that they call the officials of the NFL blew the whistle. Took those points off the board, and Leo, you're right. It completely changed the complex of that game. I heard a lot of people, though, talking about, you know, when we're, you know, around the city of New Orleans, oh, well, they scored 50 points, but yeah, they came by turnover, you know, this, that, and the other. I said, I don't care how you score 50 points. Tampa went to the defending NFC champion's home stadium and hung a 50 burger on them. That was unbelievably impressive to me because I kept looking at that game saying, hey, L.A.'s going to come back and end up winning this game at the wire, but you guys every time had the answer. That's something that it seems like this team's starting to grow under Bruce Arians.
Well, the bottom line, guys, and you know this as well as I do, watching the NFL for years and years and years, you go as your quarterback goes. And Jameis Winston had a terrible opening game. But since then, he's got what I call quiet feet. He drops back, he hits his mark at 3 steps, 5 steps, or 7 steps, and he settles. Against the 49ers, he was jumpy. He was moving all over the place. Now, if you watch film, if you see what's going on, he hits that final step, pushes off steps, and throws. He has quiet feet, and that is big.
You know, that was one of the things when Bruce Arians took this job, I was kind of with the majority saying, you know, Jameis Winston is done in Tampa Bay. It's a bust. They have to go out and get another quarterback. When you guys go out and hire Bruce Arians stood right up and said, absolutely not, Jameis Winston's my guy. I kind of questioned it. You talked about the first two games. I thought Jameis Winston was a little shaky in those two games, but he really seems to have turned a corner. Has Bruce Arians just, is that the difference? Bruce Arians and Jameis Winston are now coming together?
Yeah, and one other thing, guys, the Bucs have a running game. And I got a little bit of a bad side of Bruce Arians at the first training camp when I said, Coach, can you win in the NFL consistently with a substandard running game? I didn't say the Bucs had one, but he cut me off right there and said, we do not have a substandard running game. We will run the football. And I'll tell you what, Jones and Barber have turned out to be a great 1-2 tandem. And I was the one that said, you know, everybody had given up on Jones down here. And I said, look, if you're a running back coming out of USC, you are not chopped liver. You can run the football. They're finally giving him a little bit of a seam. And football is confidence. And he's got confidence now that every time he touches it, he had two runs of 60 and 25 yards called back for penalties. So the Bucs running game is the best friend that Winston has right now. And his other best friend is definitely Bruce Arians.
Well, that was my next question for you. I'm glad you brought up Ronald Jones. This is kind of a personal agenda because I have him on one of my fantasy teams. Have been kind of debating whether the fact I needed to drop him, but it seems like he's kind of taken over for Peyton Barber. Is he kind of phasing Peyton Barber, taking over the number one role, and Barber going to drop back to the number two guy?
I don't know. That's an interesting question because what they're doing is whoever has the hot hand, that's who's getting fed. And they start out with Barber in usually the first two series, and then they come with Jones as the change-up. And then who's ever having the good game, they're going to stick with him. But Jones is going to get his touches. That's the big thing.
Hey, this is Jordan. Just kind of talk about Shaq Barrett. 9 sacks in the first half of this, in the first quarter of the season. Is this just something that this guy does, or is this something new that Tampa's seeing out of him?
Well, I thought it was Simeon Rice there for a while, guys. I mean, we haven't seen this in Tampa Bay. But here's what I think is happening. Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea are eating up double teams inside. You cannot block those guys man-on-man, or they're getting in. They are doing a great job of pushing the pocket and putting color in the quarterback's face from the inside. And you've got Golston and Nassib, two massive ends, and again, they got Nassib listed as a linebacker, but he's the rush end. And what they're doing is they are flopping Barrett to whichever side they think he can get in. And I'll tell you what, the guy has a knack of getting to the quarterback. And they thought he was this kind of guy, but they didn't think he was the guy. And that's what we're seeing down here. You know, we had years down here in Tampa Bay where we didn't get 9 sacks in a season from a player. He's at 9.5 now with 12 games to go.
That's unbelievable. And how much of a difference has Todd Bowles made? Because I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. I think he's one of the best defensive minds in the game. I thought I was really upset when you guys got him. I really would have liked to have seen him outside of the division. I thought that was a great hire for Tampa Bay. Talk about the job that Todd Bowles and what he's meant to this Tampa Bay defense.
Well, he sold the program. That's the big thing. Guys, the big thing to remember is Bruce Arians wasn't coming unless he could get his guys on the coaching staff. Todd Bowles was number one. Byron Leftwich was number two. They were available. They came in. And Bowles has sold these guys on the 3-4. Now, everybody knows that it takes probably 4, 5, maybe 6 games to start to get the feel of this. I mean, when Tony Dungy came in here and put in the Tampa 2, it took him 8 games, and Hardy Nickerson didn't buy in until game 9. And now you're seeing the Bucs, and the key is no pre-snap read. Teddy Bridgewater is going to come up, and he's going to see something, and it's probably not what it's going to be when they snap the ball. And that's huge, because up until then, the Bucs ran the 4-3, and you could figure out who's coming. Now you don't know who's coming. You know Shaq Barrett's coming. But who are the other guys?
You know, looking at the Saints-Dallas game last week, Sheldon Rankins returned to our defensive line, and we saw one of the best defensive efforts that the Saints have put forward all year. Kind of had a little struggles against the Houston Texans. They were able to run the football on us. But with Sheldon Rankins back, the defensive line really stepped up, stuffed Ezekiel Elliott. Tampa Bay's got a great defensive line. Do you think this game comes down to who can run the football better?
I think it comes down to two things. One, who can run the football better, and which quarterback does not make a fatal error. And again, everybody talks about managing a game. You got to make plays under center. And if you are comfortable and the offensive line protects you and you get back there and you can throw it or you can run it, that's a whole different animal. I think that what's going to happen is whoever can get to the other quarterback first. And, guys, I'll tell you what, I am a big fan of Teddy Bridgewater. I was in Minnesota when he had that horrific, and again, with all capital letters, horrific injury. He almost died on the practice field. That's how bad that was. And I had a guy inside Minnesota, and he said, we stopped practice. I said, what do you mean? He said, you never stop practice for an injury. We had to go inside because we had nothing left. So I am so happy to see Teddy Bridgewater succeeding.
I'll tell you what, the one thing that has shocked me, and we're talking to Leo Haggerty from It Sports Magazine, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Leo, the one thing that shocked me was, it was the first thing I looked for in preseason this year, was how he stood in the pocket, and I'm absolutely stunned at how that kid has got all kind of chaos around his feet, and he's got the confidence to stand in the pocket. We are literally here in New Orleans saying he stands in the pocket too long and he holds the ball too long. That's how tough this kid is. But I did hear the same things about him from Minnesota. I agree with you, Leo. I think this game could come down to almost special teams. A lot of people here feel like it could be a shootout. I disagree. I think this might be a defensive struggle, and I think the game could maybe come down to special teams. I know it's a sore subject in Tampa Bay. He drafted Roberto Aguayo a couple years ago, and he couldn't make a field goal to save his life. Has Tampa Bay kind of righted the ship, pardon the pun, on the kicking game?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I want to thank the secret deodorant people for putting the ad in the paper down here. I don't know if you heard about this, but after the game, they put an ad in the Tampa Times, and it said, hey, Tampa Bay Bucs fans, Carly Lloyd could make a 34-yard field goal. Guys, you know as well as I do, you never want to give a team bulletin board material. I can bet you that was a 5x7 poster up in their locker room last week. And all that Matt Gay did was go out and bomb a 58-yarder in the Coliseum. No, the kicking woes are over, and everybody talks about, well, you know, he missed a few. He made four of them that day. He was 4 of 5. It was just the wrong one that he missed. So, again, you are probably right. It's going to come down to that. And I go back to the opening game when Deshaun Watson walks down the field against the New Orleans defense, and I turned to my wife, and she said to me, they left him too much time. I said, oh, you're exactly right. And then Drew Brees just got the guy, and he's lining up for a 58-yard field goal. Guys, anything 65 or less indoors is makeable now. We're seeing people indoors make 62, 63-yarders, and it's not just making it. It's going through. So I got to agree with you. I think it's going to come down to a late kick, and we'll see how that goes.
So give us your prediction. Who wins the game?
God, this is painful, fellas, but understand this, that the Buccaneers are on what I call the NFL banishment tour. They don't play a home game again until November 10th. That means that if the Rays end up winning the World Series, the Bucs will not have even had a home game then. So I think that it pains me, but I think the Saints win this game. Only because they went to L.A., had to come back. They're going to London next week for their home game. That's a laugher. But I think the Saints win. I think they win on a late field goal, 24-21.
You know, I got to agree with you, Leo, because for some reason it always seems like when these two teams meet up, it always seems like every year we split. We win in the Dome, you guys win in Tampa Bay. So I kind of agree with you there, and I might be flipping the script, and when we play you guys in Tampa, I might be actually picking Tampa if Tampa continues to trend in the direction that they're going under Bruce Arians.
I agree with you guys. I tell you what, the needle's pointing up here, and one of the big reasons is, guys, you're going to have an enjoyable time looking at that basketball team we got as receivers. A couple 6'6 guys, a couple 6'5 guys, you know, Mike. And that's going to be a key to the game. Who is Larmore going to cover? I mean, if he goes after Evans, which we think he's going to do, you're going to have Godwin, you're going to have O.J. Howard, you're going to have Cameron Brate available. And Winston isn't afraid to go to them.
It's going to be an interesting game to see the way these coaches match up, because this is going to be a heck of a coaching matchup too. Leo, we appreciate your time. Tell the fans how they can follow you on social media.
You can go to Facebook and pick us up there, or go right to the website, which is www.itsportsmag.com, and I'll be putting up my four keys to the game in another day or two so everybody can see. And, hey, guys, how about if we do this again when the New Orleans Saints come here?
Absolutely. We'll definitely give you a call and have you on, Leo. We appreciate your time.
No, I appreciate being on with you guys. Hey, have a great day and enjoy the game.
You too. Good. I wish you good luck, but I really wouldn't mean it this week. You can have good luck later.
Hey, no sense lying about it, fellas.
Thanks, Leo. Have a good week. Leo Haggerty, It's Sports Magazine. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Casey Gisclair. He's going to, from the Sports Corner here on ESPN 100.3 FM. You can catch him every Saturday, 10 to 12. He's going to preview the Holy Cross Jesuit game, amongst others, where you and I are right now, Jordan, outside of Tad Gormley Stadium. Sports Hangover, sponsored by 511 by Carl Malone. 6601 Veterans Boulevard, go on by and check them out. Some of the best outdoor gear you'll find. One of the best places, Carl Malone. One of the greatest guys you'll meet. Very oriented towards the ex-military and police officers that serve our country. He really gives back to the community. Go on by and check out their store, 6601 Veterans Boulevard, 511 by Carl Malone. Quick break on the Sports Hangover, and we'll be right back. It's a home of the Pelicans Broadcasting Network, 100.3 FM. Catch all the Pelicans games live here on ESPN New Orleans. We'll be right back.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788, Donlin Construction.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
On October 18th, POV Magazine and the Settlement at Live Oak in Thibodaux are throwing the ultimate family-friendly tailgate to benefit the Bayou Country Children's Museum. The local vendor pop-up market will have food and boutique stocked to get you game day ready. Enjoy live music by DJ Rhett and Big Mike Fazy with Stellar Media, and come find me, Casey Gisler, in the ESPN Radio Game Zone for the best tailgating games. So mark your calendars for Friday, October 18th at 6 p.m. for the POV pop-up Thibodaux tailgate at the Settlement at Live Oak. For more information, visit povpopup.com.
You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Jay Hardgrave pinch hitting for Gus Kattengill today. Gus will be back with us Wednesday, enjoying a little R&R with the family. I am blessed with the self-proclaimed professor of awesomeness, Jordan Kleber. He is with me, and we are live here at Tad Gormley Stadium. Right around the back of it for tonight's game between Jesuit and Holy Cross. Hard to believe, but these two schools will be meeting for the 100th time. And we're going to bring in now ESPN host of the Sports Corner, Mr. Casey Gisclair. Normally, you can catch the show from 10 to 12 on Saturdays right here on ESPN 100.3 FM. But this Saturday, because of the LSU game, they're going to bump it up to 9 o'clock. So, Casey, we appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time this Friday.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here. And it sounds like you guys had a very nice environment, and I got a feeling it's going to be a party out there later on tonight.
Casey, I'll be honest with you, man. When we got here, you know, we were told y'all are going to do the show from Tad Gormley, and there's going to be some tailgating going on. Jordan and I kind of expected to see a couple of tents,
yeah,
a few people sitting around.
Your typical high school tailgate.
We pulled up, and we felt like we were going to a parade. The entire street is parked up. There are tents everywhere. There is a major band starting at 4 o'clock. There's a guy right in front of us with a gigantic barbecue pit that I could probably lay across. They've got an entire pig on it. It's like people everywhere, tents everywhere. This is like a festival.
We actually talked to one of the guys, and they've been out here since 8 o'clock this morning just setting up everything. So, I mean, the 100th meeting between both Holy Cross and Jesuit, I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than this in high school football.
Fellas, when I was researching the matchup, what struck me is most high schools that we talk about each week aren't even 100 years old. So the
exactly.
fact that this is the 100th matchup, it shows the pageantry and the tradition that both of these programs have. Looking at it on the field, Holy Cross is coming in pretty hot. They're playing some good football. They're battle-tested. John Wooten at quarterback is a really good player. He's a good playmaker. He could stretch that field vertically. I want to see how the Jesuit defense handles that Holy Cross offense. Jesuit's coming off of a hard-fought 31-7 loss against Brother Martin last week. Struggled to move the ball. They better move the ball today, but I got a feeling Holy Cross is going to score some points.
Yeah, you know, Casey, when my nephew went to Mandeville High School, I had a chance to watch Guy LeCompte, the way he coached, now head coach of Holy Cross. I watched the way he coached over there. He's one heck of a football coach. He, you know, throw the ball all over the field, but his teams are basically known for the tough defense. You think Holy Cross's defense is going to be able to stand up to that Jesuit offense tonight?
It's going to be a very tough matchup for him. As Jesuit does have some playmakers. I think Jesuit's going to want to control the clock. They're going to want to keep the ball out of Holy Cross's hands. So that's going to mean Holy Cross defensively, they're going to have to win first and second down. Put them in that third and eight or that third and nine. Because if they're playing third and three, third and four all night long, Holy Cross may not have the football very much tonight. And that's obviously a detriment to them with Wooten out there at quarterback on the other side.
You know, Casey, another game I want to touch base on, because we're right in the middle of district play, but John Curtis going out of state, and they're going to take on Lake Placid of Florida. You're starting to see a lot of this going on. Rummel does it a lot. Now, John Curtis has done it in the past, and they're doing it again. I understand why in college a team goes and schedules a game on a neutral site because it helps with recruiting. I don't see the value of why these high school teams want to go out of state. Is it just to get their name out nationally?
Well, I could tell you this. I asked JT Curtis this exact question earlier in the offseason for something that I was writing about, and he said, well, Casey, if we don't schedule out-of-state games, we're not going to play 10 games. They can't find teams in Louisiana to play them. So that's one of the issues is, you know, you're John Curtis and you're the big powerhouse and everybody knows you have all these athletes, one of the best programs in the country. There are not very many coaches in the state of Louisiana willing to basically sign up a loss on their schedule. So they're having a hard time filling out their scheduled in-state opponents. So they have to look out of state, which brings us to that matchup with Lake Placid tonight.
Can you just talk about tonight's matchup between, you know, my old school.
Oh, go figure.
Yeah, St. Paul's going up against Hammond at Tornado Stadium.
It's going to be a good ball game. St. Paul's, the key for them tonight is they're going to have to protect the football. Last week they lost a hard-fought game against Slidell, but they shot themselves in the foot. They turned it over five times. If you had told me before the game St. Paul's defense would hold Slidell, tailback Harlan Dixon to 15 yards, and St. Paul's would still lose the game, I wouldn't have believed you. But that's exactly what happened. So St. Paul's going to have to protect the ball offensively. When they get down in the red zone, convert, score touchdowns, not kick field goals, and they're going to have to slow down that Hammond running game. Hammond's very run heavy. They're not going to want to throw the ball unless if they have to. Darrell Oliver's one of the better backs in the area. He's going to look to keep pushing the chains forward. But for St. Paul's, it's very simple, man. They just got to protect the football. You turn it over five times, you're not going to beat almost anyone.
And Casey, one of the big matchups here in the city of New Orleans is going to be Warren Eastern against Landry Walker. I know this is one of the toughest districts. These guys having to play each other constantly every year, and then they usually have to end up, you know, rematching somewhere in the playoffs because usually both of them are contending for a state title. How do you see this game playing out?
Two very angry teams. Landry Walker is 1-3. They won their season opener. Since then, they've been beat soundly three straight weeks, which almost never happens. Coach Keenan Lewis is having a hard time getting his team to buy into that defensive philosophy he's trying to put in. They're giving up tons and tons of points. And for Warren Easton, they're 1-2, and they're also hungry and angry coming into this game too, guys. They were taking on East Ascension last Friday. They scored a touchdown in the last play of the game to bring it to 42-41. They opted to go for two in the win, got hit at the one-yard line, got kept out of the end zone, so they lost by 1 point last week. Warren Easton has a great quarterback. Deshaun Holmes is a good player. He can throw the ball all over the field. He can make plays with his legs. Can Landry Walker corral that Warren Easton offense? I don't know. They've had a hard time corralling anybody. I think this is going to be an opportunity for Warren Easton to maybe get back on the winning track. Coach Jerry Phillips really likes this team. They've lost two in a row, but they've lost to Carr and East Ascension, which is two state powers.
Okay, Casey, let's jump over to the NCAA with LSU going up against Utah State. 11 o'clock start. That's why you guys on the Sports Corner are going to bump up your show from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, right up leading up into kickoff with the LSU Tigers. Utah State's got a quarterback that a lot of people are projecting as a middle-of-the-first-round draft pick next year, and that LSU defense has kind of been taken advantage of by some teams like Vanderbilt, who – probably doesn't have the offensive talent that Utah State has. How do you see this game playing out?
Boy, I sure hope that LSU's defense, with getting a couple of guys back, is going to look a little bit better than what they have. It's starting to trouble me a little bit. And even if you go back to the Northwestern State game, at times they had ability to move the football on that LSU defense. And Jordan Love, from what they tell me, is a gunslinger. He is an old Wild West gunslinger. He's going to throw it up, whether there's coverage there, whether there's not. He's going to take a risk. So that tells me on one hand that LSU may have opportunities for some takeaways. It tells me on the other hand that Utah State, if LSU isn't able to get pressure on Jordan Love, can maybe make some plays vertically down the field. On the flip side, fellas, one thing I want to see is I want to see Ingram back on that offensive line for LSU. They tell me that, well, not they tell me, we all saw it 2 years ago. He was a monster up front. Having him back could be a huge bonus for this team as we move through the meat of the SEC schedule.
All right, Saints on Sunday taking on Tampa Bay, 12 o'clock at the Dome. I'm a Bridgewater guy. I think he's a good quarterback. I think eventually Sean's going to open up the playbook. It's so bad. Gus calls me Teddy Bridgewater's agent. I think he is the heir apparent to Drew Brees when Drew retires. I know a lot of people don't feel the same way. How are you on this subject?
Well, we'll find out Sunday because they're not going to win 12-15 game against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is going to come into the Dome, and they're going to put some points on the board. Last couple of games, scored 31 against the Giants, scored 55 against the Rams. So if Bridgewater could go ahead and score them 28, 31 points, and they find a way to get the win, yeah, sure, that obviously plays to his favor. The thing I don't like about Teddy right now, guys, is they're not even attempting to throw the ball down the field. And I think that as we get a little bit later into the season, a little bit later into Drew Brees' recovery, they're going to have to start hitting some passes down the field because winning these defensive struggles is nice, but at some point in the NFL, as you guys know, you got to score some points.
All right, Casey, tomorrow, as we talked about, Sports Corner is going to start at 9 o'clock. What you guys got going on? I got the feeling it gets close to kickoff. You're going to be previewing a little LSU, but you got a ton of high school action to talk about tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to be breaking down five in Louisiana High School. Crazy to believe that after tonight, we're already going to be halfway through the regular season. We're going to have a lot of coaches on from around the area. We're going to be talking some LSU. We're going to be talking Nichols Colonels, Saints. You name it, we'll be breaking it down tomorrow on the Sports Corner.
All right, well, I'm glad you mentioned the Nichols Colonels because the Nichols Colonels kick off at 3 o'clock. You can listen to them right here on the flagship station for Nichols State, right here on ESPN 100.3 FM. And I know Brian Johnson, the voice of the Colonels, has recently left. And I just have to say this. You know, when Sean Kelly left to take a national job with ESPN, it was a no-brainer that they go out and get Todd Graffanini. That's what they did. Now the Graff is the voice of the Pelicans. And maybe somebody from Nichols State is listening right now to me, and it's a no-brainer for you guys. Go out and get Casey Gisclair. He should be the next voice of the Nichols State Colonels. You deserve it. I've listened to you call football games. I've listened to you call basketball games and baseball games. You're phenomenal. And Casey, from the bottom of my heart, I hope you are the next voice of the Colonels. You absolutely deserve it.
Well, my hat doesn't fit anymore, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the kind words, man.
No, we appreciate it, Casey. Have a great weekend, man, and thanks for giving us a little bit of your time today.
Anytime, fellas.
Casey Gisclair, appreciate the time. We'll be right back. A quick break. Sports Hangover, sponsored by Carl Malone, 511, 6601 Veterans Boulevard. Some of the best outdoor gear you will find. Boots, jeans, some outdoor. It's got that outdoor rugged fabric that you need. It's comfortable. They've got some of the most comfortable boot selection over there. Some of the nicest people. They even sell Black Rifle coffee that benefits the military. Go on by 6601 Veterans. Take a look at that place. We appreciate their sponsorship on the Sports Hangover. Quick break. Phone lines are going to be open, so if you want to give us a call, now's the time. We'll talk Saints. We'll talk Pelicans basketball, whatever you guys want to talk about, LSU, you name it. Sports Hangover, quick break. We'll be right back.
Working with Governor Edwards to solve the budget crisis, we saw how truly bipartisan he is.
He brought members of both parties together to make the hard decisions
that turned a $2 billion deficit into a surplus.
Two-thirds of the Republican-led legislature voted to fund TOPS, save our hospitals, and raise teacher pay.
And Governor Edwards was willing to work with anyone committed to that goal.
He put people over politics.
And Louisiana is in a better place because of his leadership.
I'm Donna Edwards. As a teacher, I believe the best opportunity you can give a child is a good education. That's why John Bell ended years of devastating cuts and is investing in our children's future again. He passed the first teacher pay raise in 10 years, increased funding for K-12 and higher education, and fully funded TOPS. It's a good start, but John Bell won't stop working until every child has the opportunities they need to keep moving Louisiana forward.
Paid for by the John Bell Edwards campaign.
Peter Don's Golf Carts has golf cart batteries on sale through October 31st. Great prices like the Trojan 6-volt Peter Den Black Box battery for $79 each. Plus sale prices on more Trojan Black Box batteries like the Trojan 6-volt T105 for $114. Check out the Trojan T1275 deep cycle battery for just $174. All batteries come with core exchange. Peter Don's Golf Carts in Houma also has the best prices in the area on golf carts and accessories.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Truck Gisclair. After nearly 12 years of public service as a state representative, I am ready to continue my commitment to the people of our region, serving as your next state senator for District 20. As a senior member of the Natural Resources Committee, Ag Committee, Transportation, Highways, and Public Works Committee, and as the state's vice chairman of the Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs, these leadership experiences have prepared me to continue working for you as your next state senator. On October 12th, please vote for number 59, Jerry Truck Gisclair for Senator. Paid for by Jerry Gisclair Campaign.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
As a recipient of a prize from Coastal Broadcasting of La Rose Incorporated, also known as KLRZ 100.3 FM ESPN New Orleans, you are responsible for applicable taxes and our licensing fees. You're not responsible if a prize is damaged or breaks, an event is canceled, or business closes. When mailing prizes, our station is not responsible for prizes that are damaged or lost. One winner per household for 30 days. Winner must have a picture ID and must pick up the prize within 30 days. You can pick up most prizes at our studio office, 11603 Highway 308, La Rose. Thank you for listening.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Last segment of hour number two, Jay Hargrave filling in for Gus Kattengill alongside the self-proclaimed professor of awesomeness, Jordan Kleber. Jordan, I guess things kind of worked out for the Pelicans this week because a lot of people thought that Utah State game was going to be played at night in Tiger Stadium. Instead, it's kicked up to 11 o'clock. So that kind of leaves the door wide open as really the Pelicans being the only thing going in town.
Yeah.
And for the first time in the history of this city, we're talking, and in the next hour, next at 2:05, assuming he can get away from practice, Daniel Salerson's going to join us to talk about the practice tomorrow. But it's kind of hard to believe that we are talking about practice, and I know I just sound like Allen Iverson.
No,
we're talking about practice of a preseason game for the New Orleans Pelicans.
A sold out practice, I want to say.
It is sold out.
I want to say it's sold out.
I heard they were expecting 15,000 to 17,000,
yes.
And we'll get Daniel Salerson's
confirmed
take on this when he comes on in our next hour at the top of the hour. But it's amazing that just before we won the lottery, people were saying, oh, this isn't a basketball town. This is a football town. They'll never be able to sell out. And I kept telling people, you want to be a basketball town? Win. Golden State wasn't a basketball town. Steph Curry comes to town. Klay Thompson comes to town. Draymond Green comes to town. They can't find a ticket to go to a Golden State team. Well, lo and behold, we win the lottery. One ping pong ball. And Zion Williams is coming to town, and he's the best thing that probably happened to this franchise.
Yeah, and just talk about the Pelicans. I mean, we are the proud flagship station.
Absolutely.
Of the New Orleans Pelicans. And last night was the first official show of Pelicans Weekly, hosted by Todd Graffinini and Daniel Salerson. And the guest last night that Todd had on the show was Vice President of Basketball Operation David Griffin. And Daniel also talked to Javon Bess of the New Orleans Pelicans, and that's something that you could look forward to listening to every week on Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Just listen for Todd Graffinini, your new voice of Pelicans basketball, and Daniel Salerson to host the show.
Yeah, it's a great show, and Todd's going to do a great job in his first year as the voice of the Green Wave. I was so happy that he got the job. Good friends with both Sean and Todd. Hated to see Sean go, but really, really happy for Todd Graffinini that he gets an opportunity to call an NBA franchise in his home city. That's a great opportunity for him, and we'll be able to listen to him all year long. You know, this franchise has just completely taken off with the addition of Zion, and then the way David Griffin handled the draft. You got Jackson Hayes, which people are saying maybe the steal of the draft. That this guy, we might look back at that draft. Everybody knows Zion's going to be a stud, but I don't think a lot of people realized how good Jackson Hayes has the potential of being. Oh, by the way, you also got a number one draft pick and Jackson Hayes, because you now hold the Atlanta Hawks number one pick next year. So next year, what a lot of people aren't understanding of how close this team is to being a playoff team, you're sitting on three number one picks. National reporters are now saying the Pelicans may be the deepest team in the entire NBA. Well, I got news for you. If you've got a deep team right now and you're sitting on three number one picks, you're not drafting three number one guys. You're probably going to package all three of those picks and see if you can't get up into a top five pick.
So I was watching The Jump the other day on ESPN, and hosted by Rachel Nichols, and she had Scottie Pippen on the show, and something that took me aback was Scottie Pippen actually said that the team that he would have never thought would have came out of his mouth, that he couldn't wait to watch a season, was the Pelicans, just because of the pure amount of young talent that they have. And who would have thought that Scottie Pippen, a guy that played along Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players ever, would say, even a year back, people were dissing the Pelicans, saying, oh, they should just go to Seattle. Now it's all of a sudden national media and fans or players of a caliber like Scottie Pippen just can't wait to see Lonzo and Drew Holiday, Zion, and Jackson Hayes just play a basketball game.
I am really, you mentioned one of the names of just now, one of the guys I'm so looking forward to seeing, it's Lonzo Ball. And I've said this before on this airwaves, that I was not thrilled about getting this guy. And when I literally sat down and thought, what are the reasons why I don't want Lonzo Ball here in New Orleans, it kept coming back to the same thing, his father. And I was like, that's not fair to this kid. This kid has done nothing wrong. He's been a class act. He hasn't done stupid things in his life. He's been a good kid. And one of the things I went online the other day and saw, the difference that Fred Vinson, Coach Fred Vinson, has made with his jump shot. He's worked on it, and he has cleaned a lot of his mechanics up, and you would just he was just draining shot after shot after shot. And it just looks like if he gets an outside shot, the way he can run the floor, pairing with Drew Holiday, this is unbelievably dangerous team.
I agree with that, the new shot, but again, I agree that if he can convert that into an actual game, yeah, I mean, he could be lights out, but that's when no one's guarding, no one's around him guarding him or contesting a shot. So I'd love to see how that transitions into actual play, and we can see that this Monday against the Hawks.
All right, that does it for hour number two. When we come back, we're going to have Daniel Salison. If he can get away from practice, we're going to get a few minutes of him to preview tomorrow's practice. Sports Hangover, ESPN 100.3. We want to thank Karl Malone 511 for sponsoring our show. We'll be right back after this quick break on the Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans.
Rivers are the perfect natural suppliers of sediment. I will work with the CPRA to ensure that our coastal region is rebuilt and designed to sustain the tens of thousands of created acres of coastal wetlands, which serve as critical habitat and a buffer.